Welcome, everyone, to the Ready for the Draft podcast. I am your host, Greg Schutz. This is episode 5 of the 2025 podcast series, where we take a look at the draft eligible prospects and get you ready for the NFL draft. And look, college football is here. Week 1 of the college football season in the books. And you're like a kid in a candy store. Games the entire weekend, starting on Thursday, all the way through Monday. And just having the time of your life just watching nothing but college football. I know that was what it was like for me. I hope that you enjoyed a lot of the games as well. And, I want to talk through what I saw week 1 of the college football season. You know, we'll also throw in a little bit on, week 0 again. Just wanted to talk through what happened there very quickly. And we'll jump into some of the other observations that I have. When we talk about Florida State taking on Georgia Tech in Dublin, right? Georgia Tech ends up winning 24-21. I think really the story there was that defensive front for Florida State, just no match for Georgia Tech. Didn't have any answers. Jamal Haynes, 75 yards on the ground, 2 touchdowns. This was a guy that showed some shiftiness, between the tackles and in the open field. Patrick Payton, very disappointing. And I'll tell you what, when they played BC week 1 of the official college football season, even more disappointing in my eyes. This was a guy, who Jared Verse, Braden Fisk, all the defensive prowess there, allowing him to really have that, that one-on-one, because all the focus was on the other two, both drafted by the Rams in the first and second round, respectively. And Patrick Payton just didn't show up. You watched him against the run. I thought, this was a guy that was very passive. You saw his, especially against Boston College, you saw the feet just stop. Instead of seeing him really try to continue to drive to make a play in the backfield, and even as a pass rusher, one of the things that I thought was really odd going against Thomas Castellanos was whenever he would roll out, you're waiting for him to make a play on the football, and he was really hesitant. He was watching, like, should I drop back and put my hand in the passing lane? Should I charge forward? Instead of just getting there and putting a body on him, he really, the hesitance really allowed Thomas Castellanos to make some of those plays outside the pocket, extending those plays. Who was really impressive in that game, though, was Donovan Ezeraku. If you don't know that name, you should get to know it really quickly, because this is a guy, look, is he going to be a first rounder? No, but I think this is a guy that, third, fourth round, potentially, situational pass rusher, absolutely, 6'2", 247, not the biggest guy, not really going to be a hand-in-your-dirt type of a guy. He is going to be a 34 outside linebacker, but look, this was a dude that was just having his way with Darius Washington. You watched him with a quick stab to the outside, crossing the face, getting back to the inside. I would use a quick arm over and shoot into the quarterback, and able to drop him. You'll see the speed rush as well, dip that shoulder, bends really well. This is a guy that I think, continue to watch BC. Look, Bill O'Brien has that team rolling. And watch Donovan Ezeraku throughout the year. This is a guy that I think is going to rise up draft boards. And we can be talking about him potentially as a top 60 player, depending on really what that looks like, the whole body of work. But what I saw in this game was a guy that was relentless. I saw a guy who was tremendously athletic, and he was able to win in a variety of ways, had a pass rush plan, and really made life miserable for DJ Uiagalelei. And I'll tell you what, with DJ, against Georgia Tech, minus 0.1 yards of air yards in the first half, struggled mightily. Really saw that again against Boston College. This is a guy who really, after that freshman year at Clemson, he lost his job there to Kate Klubnik, with the Tigers, and then moves to Oregon State, had a kind of a lackluster season there. And against Florida, with Florida State, here's the thing. This is a guy who, they don't really trust him to air out the football. Because why? He's late with the football. That's really the biggest thing. He doesn't trust what he sees. He doesn't, there's zero anticipation. He's got a big arm, but the receiver has to already be open for him to really cut loose with the football. So the decision-making, really a big question mark there for DJU. And, I just don't see him as a draftable prospect at this point, which is disappointing, because I know, especially with Florida State, they're expecting to see that come forward, and we just didn't get to see that. SMU, that comeback victory over Nevada. Preston Stone really looked shaky in the first half. Second half really started pouring it on. You saw some touch down the field. But really, the guy that you want to talk about more than anything else is RJ Maryland. 8 catches, 162 yards, and a couple of scores in that game. And with RJ Maryland, this is a guy who, he reminds you a little bit of, say, an Isaiah Likely, a guy who, for Baltimore, really going to start coming into his own this year, I feel, with Mark Andrews and everything else. Really, when you look at RJ Maryland and what you have there is a guy who, not really a blocker. I think that's one of the things you can say, but it's 6'4", 233 pounds, a guy that is too fast for the linebackers, too big for the corners, and, lined up all over the field. You saw excellent, body control, back shoulders, acrobatic catches down the field. This is a dude that was a weapon up the seam, but also, being able to run some of those routes on the outside. Had a game-winning touchdown with a minute 23 to play. Lined up in the slots, really changed the speed with kind of a hesitation. Jab to the inside at the stem, outside release, speed, runs by the safety, makes the catch over his shoulder, slides into the end zone for a 35-yard touchdown. Really able to extend the ball over his shoulder and slide for the score. So this is a guy that, only a junior, but I think RJ Maryland is a guy that should be on everybody's radar as a potential top 10 tight end. Is he going to come out? That's really a big question mark, because I don't see him being a guy at this point that's going to be a day two pick, probably going to be in that day three range. So I think RJ Maryland comes back, that could really improve his draft stock overall. Colorado taking on North Dakota State, 31-26 winners over the Bison, and Shedeur Sanders proved to me why he should be the number one quarterback in this draft class, at least right now. 26-34, 445 yards, 4 touchdowns, 1 interception. And look, with Shedeur, what you have is a guy that if you can't put pressure on him, if you allow him to sit back in the pocket, especially if you're only rushing 3, dropping 8, he will pick you apart. He can be very surgical with that. Tremendous arm strength, the anticipation, the ball placement, phenomenal. But look, that play was overshadowed by what we saw from Travis Hunter. Over 100 snaps a game, 7 receptions, 132 yards, 3 touchdowns in this game, and you just saw tremendous body control. The catch in the end zone, the final touchdown, really able to pluck the ball out of the air. Just a tremendous, phenomenal. Came back to the football, the hands catch in front of the corner. Just a guy that, it was a one-on-one into the boundary, hand fighting, ball thrown to the inside instead of the back shoulder, was still able to haul it in as he was going to the ground, overhead, plucks it, and that was his third touchdown of the game. But his ability to, even if the ball was thrown behind him on the move, he's able to reach back, pluck it, and continue with that route. Had a 41-yard touchdown, really a quick stop route at 7 yards, turns inside, able to break the tackle of the corner. Safety took a bad angle, showed that speed for a 41-yard touchdown. Look, Travis Hunter, to me, when you look at the receiver position, really number one is kind of up in the air. Teteroa McMillan had a huge day week one, and we'll get to him in just a second because his performance was incredible. But when I look at Travis Hunter, Luther Burden, those are your top three wideouts. Travis Hunter has to be in consideration when you're looking at the receivers and the corners now, because guys making plays all over the place. What you love about him at the cornerback position is he is extremely physical. He's going to want to come up and hit you and hit you and hit you and hit you. You love the physicality. You love that baller mentality. And this is a dude that when they put the leaders and the dogs, this is a dude, he can wear the L's and the D's on his jersey. Leader, dog, doesn't matter. Guy's just, he's impressive. Jacksonville State lost 55-27 to Coastal Carolina, but the guy I was watching was Clay Webb out of Jacksonville State. 6'3", 310 pounds. He started his career at Georgia. We watch him athletic, getting out of his stance, as a puller, excellent hand placement and pass protection, shooting the hands under the defensive tackle's pad level, excellent leverage, staying low in his stance. Athleticism again, climbing to the second level, keeps those legs churning, good leverage, ultimately plants the DB into the ground to finish. This guy's going to look to finish anytime anytime he can, right? Excellent feet and pass protection, keeps him active to mirror the defensive tackle, drops his pad level to anchor against the defensive tackle bull rush as well. to me, you know, Clay Webb is a guy that is in strong consideration as a day two prospect at the guard position. Minnesota taking on North Carolina, 19-17 win. Max Johnson ends up breaking his leg, but you know, Connor Harrell was able to lead them back to victory. But the guy that I was really looking forward to watching, and you know, he just didn't disappoint, was Arionte Ursary. And this is a dude they talked about on the broadcast, runs with the receivers. You know, I'll believe it when I see it, but I definitely saw the athleticism. You know, at 6'6", 330 pounds, excellent feet and pass protection for a guy his size. Takes really good angles with his kick slide. You know, hand placement, picks up blitzes easily, just really engulfs a lot of those guys out there. And then on a rush, able to wash, Kayvon Rucker. Washed him down the line as he was trying to take an inside move on him. Does a great job moving down the line, picking up Power Eccles. I think Power Eccles saw him, I don't know, a half dozen times, and just the athleticism, the power to just drive him. Did a great job coming out and picking up the safety blitzes as well. The athleticism, again, on display time and time again with Arionte Ursary. But, you know, that said, another guy that I thought was really impressive was, you know, West Virginia's left tackle, Wyatt Milam. And Wyatt Milam, you know, went up against Abdul Carter. And Abdul Carter is a first-round linebacker, a guy that, look, he played off-ball, now he's really more of an edge rusher. This guy can do a little bit of everything. And when you are able to shut him down, essentially only one tackle on the day, you know, Milam was lined up over him time and time again. And, you know, it was just impressive to watch Milam go to work. And, you know, when you look at Milam, he, you know, he's a big dude, you know, 6'6", 317 pounds. You know, what you love is he gets his hands on Carter early, quick feet, keeps him in front, keeps him square, good leverage, kick slide. Look, he was able to get Carter, keep him in front, just shot his hands into the chest, stones the rush, you know, perimeter run to the left, very easy mover climbing to the second run level as well. So, you know, when I think about, you know, Wyatt Milam, he and Ursary are both athletic tackles and guys that, you know, really should be on NFL radars. You know, are they first round tackles? I think the jury's still out there, but they're definitely guys that I would consider taking on day two for sure. Second rounders, absolutely. I don't see any reason why you wouldn't pull the trigger in that situation. I'll give you a cornerback name that people aren't really talking about, and that's Justin Wally there from Minnesota. 5'11", 190 pounds, and what you have with Wally, look, you know, an interception, 70 yards, taken back the other direction. It was a deep over. He's in trail technique, ball thrown behind the receiver, able to take it off the receiver's hand, and took it down the sideline before Omarion Hampton dropped him at the 8. Four-year starter. This is a guy that's very instinctive. On the play where Max Johnson broke his leg, he blitzed off the edge, used his hands to get into the body of Hampton, really shrugged him off and got a hit on the quarterback. You know, speaking of Omarion Hampton, look, he had a pretty decent day. You know, 30 carries, 129 yards there, 5 catches as well, 17 yards. Showed excellent hands, excellent effort again to chase down Justin Wally on that interception. Corner, you know, wraps him up at the waist on the perimeter after a swing pass, able to run through that tackle, continue down the field. But, you know, it was that inability on that block that's really going to be huge. I mean, you're talking about a running back that you potentially take in the second round. That blocking, man, the guy that ultimately got to Max Johnson was his man and basically got blown, you know, just kind of shrugged aside. So while there's effort there, you know, he really needs to work on that technique. But what you love about him is he's quick to get downhill. He runs with purpose, ran for 15 yards, takes a hit from the safety as he tried to avoid, you know, goes up and over, takes a shot midair, just a really a tough run. Physical guy, you know, you can see the attitude, you know, with his running ability. I still think he's a day two guy, but the pass protection, that's really the biggest concern, I think, more than anything else. You know, that really can be a huge concern, I think. Oklahoma throttling Temple 51-3. Danny Stutzman, double-digit tackle guy yet again, and you can see the instincts. So instinctive, you know, flying to the football, able to come downhill, shoot the gaps, but also has the speed to get outside. Does a great job scraping over the top. The big thing for him is that he will fly out of control at times, laterally will get too wide at times, allowing the quarterback to kind of cut up the field on him. I think he also will miss some tackles or miss the hole, and a running back will run right by him. That said, you know, this is a guy, look, you know, he can drop into zone. Good job, you know, getting depth in coverage. And you just love his ability to flow to the football. I mean, I think that's the thing that really jumps out more than anything else. You know, this is a guy, too, a leader there for Oklahoma. Said, hey, we've got 18 walk-ons. I've got $50,000 of my NIL money that I'm going to give to these guys because they deserve it. I thought that was really a selfless act there, and something that I think, you know, guys take notice of. Receiver-wise, Deion Burks really showcased his athleticism there for the Sooners. And look, you know, he's a transfer from Purdue. Not the biggest guy, 5'9", 190 pounds. But dude squats 540, benches 400. Tremendous route runner, very sudden, able to get open on a corner route in the red zone. Just plants, cuts away from the corner, tracks the ball well, catches it over his shoulder in the back of the end zone. Took a big hit coming over the middle, pop right back up. This is just a max effort guy. 14-yard touchdown, able to climb the ladder and pluck the ball on a slant as well. I think he had three touchdowns in that game. 5'9", 190. But, you know, again, the weight room warrior and the speed vertically down the field, Jackson Arnold is going to need him to make plays down the football field. Now, here's a guy that you have to start taking notice of on the defensive line. You know, for all the guys that everyone wants to talk about there on OU's defense, the guy that he doesn't even start, but a guy that was making an impact time and time again is Grayson Halton out of he's 6'2", 291. Good speed, looping around on a stunt, gets straight to the quarterback for a sack, able to get off his block, get to the running back, rip down on the football to force a fumble deep in Temple territory, quick up the field, shoots the gap, gets to the quarterback, drove the quarterback back, Forrest Brock on a QB run, a very physical player, very athletic player, a guy that I think people need to keep an eye on because he's a guy that is making a lot of plays, and so he's somebody that I'm definitely interested in watching more of as the season progresses. And then obviously Billy Bowman, the safety, 5'10", 194 pounds, six interceptions, including three pick sixes in 2023, just a nose for the football. Just really does a great job with the range to get outside on a jet sweep, drop a running back shy of the first down marker, ball over the middle to Dante Wright, ball bounces off the arm. He elevates over the receiver and nearly made the pick. Elbow ultimately hit the ground and the ball came out, but was elevating over the receiver. It could have been a top 10 play on ESPN, but ultimately the ground jarred the ball free. But, tremendous athlete, knows for the football. He's a guy to keep an eye out for sure as well. Other games that I could kept an eye on was Georgia against Clemson, and obviously Georgia 34-3. When I look at Carson Beck, I mean, he had a good outing. I mean, 23 of 33, 278 yards and a couple of touchdowns. And the thing with Carson Beck, and the reason why I now have Shadur ahead of him is, if someone asks me, what do I want with that number one overall pick? Who am I taking? What am I, what's my thought process? And at the end of the day, it's like, do I want a guy who's going to be more of a game manager? Or I want somebody who could potentially be a difference maker, a playmaker? We've seen Shadur Sanders lead his team back to victory. Second half comebacks, fourth quarter comebacks. That's really what Shadur Sanders' makeup has been while at Colorado, at least in 2023. We'll see what happens this year. But, Carson Beck, can he do the same thing? If Georgia's down and they need a drive, will the Bulldogs put it on Carson Beck's shoulders to lead them back and lead them to victory? It reminds me a lot of Jared Goff. Jared Goff, look, you see what he's able to do there with the Detroit Lions. And yes, I know Jared Goff was the number one overall pick, but you've got an athlete like Shadur Sanders, and you see the way the game is going these days with a lot of these dual threat quarterbacks. And really the thing with Shadur Sanders that is so impressive is, he's so tough. He'll take some big hits in the pocket, stands tall, and still delivers a strike down the field. And I'm not saying that Carson Beck isn't tough or anything else like that. What you love with Carson Beck is the timing. You love the timing. You love the back shoulder throws, putting the ball right where only the receiver can make a play on it. But timing. You know, he always gets those eyes down the field, puts the ball right behind the safeties. Coming up on the play, he's going to throw it right behind the safety, right as they clear, throwing his receivers open. So you love that ball placement, the anticipation. But Carson Beck, is he a guy that can really make those plays for you? Look, Jared Goff, ultimately, he's leading the Detroit Lions. We saw it didn't really work out there in with the Rams, but he's found his home there with Detroit. If I'm the team taking the quarterback number one overall, especially the way the league has been trending, when you look at the quarterback position, Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels going one and two, I think Shedeur Sanders is another type of athlete. That tremendous arm strength, his ability to put the team on his shoulders. That's what Caleb was able to do. That's what Jaden Daniels was able to do. And so that's really where I am from a quarterback's position. But look, Carson Beck against Clemson, he was very much in control of that offense. And I think that's something that, there's something to say for that. That's why I still think Carson Beck, my number two quarterback right now. And look, things can very well change before the season's out. That's one of the things that's the beauty of it. We're only in week one. That's where I'm at right now. But we'll see what happens at the end of the season. The center, Jared Wilson from Georgia. Look, Cedric Vanpon Granger has been the guy there, but Jared Wilson, the redshirt junior, 6'3", 310, showed off some really good athleticism. I thought that he would lunge and get too far over his toes in the run game at times, but again, very athletic, especially in pass pro. He'll be a guy to keep an eye on for sure. Trevor Etienne, had the DUI, so he didn't play, suspended for the violation of team conduct policy. So that's really a big question mark on where things are going to land with him. But Jalen Walker, 6'2", 245-pound linebacker. This dude chasing down Phil Maffa, running away from him on second and one, was able to drop him for no gain. Did a great job taking the left tackle, Tristan Lee. Stacks, sheds, really sets the edge by getting those hands into the left tackle, getting off that block and dropping the quarterback, Cade Klubnik, on his own read for a loss of 1 yard. Really good speed coming off the edge, got his hands into Blake Miller, the right tackle, rips through, gets to Klubnik for a sack. Jalen Walker is one of those guys that I think is going to continue to rise up draft boards, just the longer that you get to watch him play. Smail Munden, inside backer there, showed some pretty good coverage against Jake Brinningstuhl, didn't allow any yak, did a great job driving on the route, was crossing route in front of him, able to wrap up, take care of the ball carrier there. Mykael Williams, battled an ankle injury, but you saw the power in his hands, just driving his man back, which you absolutely loved. Second and goal, there was a fake to the man in motion. Klubnik ended up taking it, dipped inside the left guard block, coming across the formation, gets to the quarterback, drops Klubnik for the tackle for loss. He's a lot of fun to watch. He's just the guy that, we have to, hopefully that ankle not going to be a huge issue for him. Malachi Starks, 6'1", 205, the safety. Lining up in the slot, cover on a fade, open to the inside and back to the receiver. Was, tracking the ball the whole way, timed his jump, elevates, plucks the ball for the interception out of the air. Just a full layout overhead to pluck it. I mean, come on. Malachi Starks is the guy to definitely keep an eye on as that number one safety. He'll be a first-round pick, I think, when it's all said and done as well. Drew Aller, I thought, against West Virginia, looked much better, much sharper, 11-17, 216 yards and 3 touchdowns. Nicholas Singleton is a back to keep an eye on for as well. 13 carries, 114 yards and a score. Look, the speed, the shiftiness, the vision, jump cut ability. Singleton's a guy that I'm a big fan of. And then Tyler Warren, he's my number two tight end right now behind Colston Loveland. This is the guy who can block. He was driving guys off the ball, burying guys, but then also showing tremendous athleticism, hands as a receiver as well. Tyler Warren's a guy to me that if he has a chance as a late first rounder just because of his athleticism and his playmaking ability. Texas blowing out Colorado State 52-0. Now, I talked about Torrey Horton. He didn't really get much of a chance because Braden Fowler-Nicolosi only threw for 59 yards, but he did what he could work with. You know, 5 catches for 31 yards. But really, you know, it was all about Texas and what they were able to do. You know, Quinn Ewers, 20-27, 260 yards and 3 touchdowns. Look, you know, he's got the arm strength, tremendous, you know, big arm, a guy that could change those arm angles, throwing around defenders, could really, you know, has the touch throws to layer it over the linebackers, but then also tremendous you know, arm strength to cut loose with it, you know, either fitting it into tight windows or the deep ball down the field. Gunnar Helm, the tight end, is a guy that, you know, I want to keep an eye on for sure. Isaiah Bond really fit in well, 5 receptions, 61 yards and a touchdown. You know, Kelvin Banks, you know, I thought an up and down game for him, but all in all, Kelvin Banks still looks like a first rounder to me. Not only that, a top 10 pick potentially. Excellent lateral agility in pass protection for sure. Miami taking on Florida. You look at Cam Ward, what he's able to do in that game. 26-35, 385 yards and 3 touchdowns. Also threw a pick, but you know, here's the thing with Cam Ward. You know, he's the gunslinger. You know, at Washington State, he was Caleb Williams light, but he made a lot of mistakes. In this game, look, he's rolling out to his left, plants, and ultimately fires back across his body late into the back of the end zone, finds his receiver later on in that game. You know, he does, maybe it was earlier, I can't remember, but he did have the exact same throw, and he ends up throwing a pick. So you have to be able to live with that. But that said, playmaker, man. You know, you allow him to get outside the pocket, extend plays, and you know, he keeps those eyes down the field. And the chemistry that he has this year with Xavier Restrepo, 7 catches, 117 yards, and a score, you know, is really impressive. And with Restrepo, this is a guy that, look, he's that receiver that people aren't talking about. I think he's quicker than he is fast. He's sudden off the line, a very reliable target. I think he's a guy that's going to be a second-round pick when it's all said and done. Out on the perimeter as a blocker for his tight end, Elijah Arroyo. But look, you know, there's a 24-yard corner route from the slot. Open behind the corner, in the end zone, very easy pitch and catch, you know, able to really get off the line. You know, what you love there, too, 3rd and 3 from the 31-yard line. He was in the slot, runs a whip route, makes the catch at about the sticks, plants after the release to the inside, spins to the outside, gets down the field. Really a dynamic play. Just really a sudden receiver and a guy that can be a playmaker at the next level. I think his stock is definitely rising for sure. Definitely a second-round pick in my eyes. Florida, unfortunately, you know, Graham Mertz struggled quite a bit. You know, just really couldn't get anything going. Miami really just was, you know, just flying all over the field defensively. You know, really wanted to see what Graham Mertz could do. This year, I thought that he had a chance to make another, you know, if he made another big leap, then we'd be talking about him in the draft. Now, there's really a question mark about whether or not he is a guy that could be drafted, to be honest with you, because he had such a great year last season. When you look at Montrell Johnson. Montrell, wow. You know, started his career at Louisiana, as we know, but there was a 71-yard touchdown, first play of the drive, takes the handoff, following the pulling guard and center, and then just the speed, running the arc, getting to the outside, and then the speed down the sideline, really outran the defense for a score. So that was impressive there, you know, at the running back position there for Florida. But what we have, you know, we have to also talk about the center, Jake Slaughter. This is a guy, you know, at times he got too far over his toes, unable to sustain blocks and pass protection. But what you loved on that touchdown by Montrell Johnson, pulled around with the guard, got the block to seal the edge, and allowed Johnson to take that off to the house. Now, that said, you know, there was a lot to like when Miami was on defense. I think Francisco Malinoa is one of the better inside backers in this draft class. And you know, really does a great job running plays, reading plays, read and react, gets outside, scrapes over the top. He'll take on the tight end blocks as well, gets off blocks, big hits, delivered a huge hit to Montrell Johnson on the sideline. So look, 6 tackles, a sack, tackle and a half for loss, pass breakup, was all over the field for them. And then Tyler Barron, this was a guy that, look, you know, we started at Tennessee, 6'5", 260, actually shows a pretty good bend coming off the edge. You know, he took on the tight end, Arliss Boardingham, and really there wasn't a contest there. Got the hands into the chest of the tight end, spins to the outside after walking him back, gets free, gets to Graham Mertz, drops him for the sack, and then you know, excellent show of effort and speed with on that touchdown run by Montrell Johnson. Dude chased him, you know, about 40 yards down the field, and ultimately dove at his legs at about the 30-yard line. Obviously, Montreal ends up scoring, but again, tremendous effort overall by Tyler Barron trying to chase him down. Alabama 63-0 against Western Kentucky. Again, that wasn't really a contest. Tyler Booker showing off why he may be the top guard, being able to pull, sustaining his block, showing tremendous grip strength there at the guard position. Keon Sapp had a couple of interceptions, showing off his instincts there on the back end of the defense. Jalen Milroe, doing a little bit of everything in this game. He was just 7-9 for 200 yards, 3 touchdowns though, and a couple of those touchdown passes were to Ryan Williams, a tremendous freshman. Just 2 catches, 134 yards, 2 touchdowns. Dynamic player, but. Look, with Milroe, he took 44 sacks a season ago. But look, the completion percentage, 52% completion percentage on throws between the 11 and 20 yards. ESPN really reporting those stats. I believe they were from Pro Football Focus. That's a big reason why he was fifth in the Heisman in 2023. But just a dynamic runner. On one of the throws to Ryan Williams, he looked left. Pulled the safety over, comes back to the right to Ryan, over the middle, fires a strike on the post at about 25 yards. Williams steps out of a tackle and takes off 85 yards for the touchdown. Really impressive. Jalen Milroe, you want to see him continue to take those steps with Kalen DeBoer there as his head coach. Michigan, I thought there were some struggles there against Fresno State. We saw an emergence from the Bulldog receiver, Jalen Moss, only a sophomore, 6 catches, 97 yards. The reason why I'm bringing Jalen Moss up is because I thought he looked pretty good against Will Johnson. 6'1", 175 pounds, in the slot against Johnson, able to get outside release on a slot fade, separates at the end, makes the catch, hand fighting with Will, 28-yard reception. But Will Johnson did get his revenge. The quarterback there for the Bulldogs, Mikey Keene, staring down his receiver there on the outside. Really, it was a quick throw. Will Johnson steps in front, easy pick, and takes it 85 yards to the house. Mason Graham, potential top 10 pick in his own right, 6'3", 320 pounds, just real quick off the ball, using those arm overs to beat the center, going through the A-gap. It would kind of start off the left shoulder of the center, but then would attack the A-gap to the right, being able to get up the field in a hurry. Quick hands to win on the one-on-ones. There was also a play where he saw a triple team that gave Kenneth Grant the one-on-one, allowing Grant to win and get pressure on the quarterback. So Mason Graham, he had 4 tackles, but I think his impact for his teammates was as big as anything, because he saw a lot of double teams, and that allowed not only Grant, but the edge rushers, especially Josiah Stewart, who was showing tremendous speed coming off the edge. Tremendous bend. Was a stand-up rusher on a screen play to Malik Sherrod, drove home the ball, gets a tackle for loss, just really did a good job dropping into the flat, beat the left guard trying to get out there, blew up the play for a loss of a yard. Also did a great job setting the edge. Didn't really get beat outside, read the play up the field, didn't chase right away, quick to the ball, wrapped up for no gain. 6'1", 245, he'll be an outside linebacker in a 34 defense, when it's all said and done there as well. Arizona, can we talk about that game against New Mexico? 61-39, Teteroa McMillan, 10 catches, 304 yards. That's right, 304 yards, a Wildcat record, 4 touchdowns, and really everything was a big play with McMillan. That was the thing that was so crazy. He makes things just look effortless. And he uses that length to his advantage. He was wide open on a couple of touchdowns. A 67-yarder, worked through the press coverage, corner falls down, and he takes off for the score. But at the same time, he was attacking the football in the air. You just saw that time and time again. So tough to bring down after the catch as well. There was a 78-yard touchdown, runs a stop route, then comes across the field, drove along the 43-yard line, cuts up the field as if he's making the catch to make a play after hauling it in. show the speed really to take it the distance. I think that's the big thing is the speed for a guy his size was really surprising. You saw his ability to separate a little bit. So at a guy who's 6'5", 210 pounds, you know, can you separate? He's a guy that has, you know, some rare tools. And that's why when I look at him, he's right there at the top. I think I have him ahead of Luther Burden right now. And then right after that, you've got Travis Hunter. Let's talk about that game in Vegas, Sunday, September 1st. USC-LSU. I was there in Allegiant Stadium. Insane atmosphere. We got to see two quarterbacks making their second career start. And they were replacing Heisman Trophy winning quarterbacks. Miller Moss taking over for Caleb Williams after an MVP performance in the Holiday Bowl over Louisville. And then Garrett Nussmeier. ReliaQuest Bowl MVP after taking over for Jaden Daniels. So really, both guys making their second start, and I thought they were both really impressive. Garrett Nussmeier, 29-38, 304 yards, two touchdowns, interception at the end of the game, where Mason Cobb makes the diving interception. Really a desperation there. USC ended up winning 27-20, but Nussmeier was very comfortable. You know, you could see him making checks at the line of scrimmage, knew where he wanted to go with the football. USC's defense with Danton Lynn just shut down any big play. You know, he took what the defense was giving him. I thought Mason Taylor really emerged in that game as well as a legitimate weapon and a guy that I think teams need to take an eye. They need to be paying attention to Jason Taylor's son. He was just work in the middle of the field, excellent route running ability as well, lining up all over, whether it was outside in the slot as an inline tight end, and was making some plays there against the linebackers. You know, USC's defense, if there was a real question mark during that game, was covering the tight end. Seven catches, 62 yards. Mason Taylor, I thought, really helped himself. When you talk about LSU and you talk about that offensive line, we'll get back to Miller Moss in a second. Believe me, I didn't forget there. But LSU, you've got a couple of tackles, first-round tackles, in Will Campbell and Emory Jones. And they didn't really reestablish the line of scrimmage at all. You didn't really see them driving USC 2 and 3 yards off the ball. That said, you know, Will Campbell, as a pass protector, was phenomenal. You know, really quick with his change of direction, easy mover, out of a stance so quickly and able to move. Eric Gentry, there was a 4th-and-2 play. Gets his hands on him, and Gentry tries to make a spin move, but just keeps him square. That was one of the things that was so impressive. He just was continuing to keep these guys square. He'd shoot his hands inside and was able to drive guys down the field. Very patient with his hands, able to anchor against Bull Rush. I think, you know, Will Campbell did nothing to hurt his draft stock in this game. Now, Emory Jones, 6'6", 315. I thought there were plays in the running game where he was able to drive guys down the field, and you're able to see him open up some holes, the hips being able to turn and seal guys. But I thought in pass pro, that's where he struggled. You'd see him overset Anthony Lucas being able to get inside and get a rush on the quarterback. And then I think there's a two-play stretch where he Anthony Lucas attacks him to the inside. And the very next play against Anthony Lucas again, more of a lateral step as the end starts to dip and get outside. He's caught bending at the waist, lunging. Defensive end's able to get around and get a push. Was able to do just enough to kind of push him up the field so that he couldn't quite get to Garrett Nussmeier. But I just thought that, you know, he wasn't getting much depth on those kick slides. So if you're gonna, you know, if you're gonna have that that jab step, you've got to be able to still get your hands on him and square. He was opening up and really parallel to the line of scrimmage. To the sideline, opening up so early, and he just, you know, Lucas just seemed to continue to beat him there. You know, he was unable to redirect. Full sprint by Lucas getting to the quarterback. That was something that I think was frustrating for LSU there in pass protection. I thought defensively for LSU, Savion Jones with a couple of sacks, pass breakup as well, being able to really have his way with Mason Murphy there on the outside. Physical defender. But let's talk about Miller Moss, man. 27-36, 376 yards, or 378 yards, excuse me, and just one touchdown. But the play in that final drive, there's 1:51 to play, tie game, loud Allegiant Stadium, and he was unfazed by the moment. able to drive USC down, made some spectacular throws, including that hole shot, you know, between the safety and the corner. Kyren Hudson just plucking that ball out of the air, takes that big hit, but it was that throw. There aren't too many quarterbacks who have the guts and the talent to be able to make that throw. Miller Moss obviously was one of those. You could just tell how cool he was in the pocket, the poise. He knew exactly where he was going with the football. And I mentioned Kyren Hudson, you know, the big time. I mean, there's so many playmakers in this receiving core, right? But it was Kyren Hudson who really surprised, I think, a lot of people, not within Heritage Hall there at USC, because everyone was talking about how Kyren Hudson was making plays with those hands. 6'1", 205, a junior. I think what everybody was talking about, you see shirts everywhere with this dude. It was an OBJ-type catch. They're at the LSU 41-yard line, a deep over route. Miller steps up, delivers high as the cornerback had his back to the quarterback. He was able to elevate and high point, really extending that right hand overhead just like OBJ did. Hauls in just the corner of the football. Then on the way down, kind of double catches it, gets his arm under it for a 24-yard gain. Hudson, 5 catches, 83 yards. I mean, when you're talking about having a core with Zachariah Branch, Deuce Robinson, Kobe Lane, Kyle Ford, Makai Lemon, there's so many really good and talented receivers in this group. And, Hudson really made his mark as that top receiver for them. Jonah Monheim, you know, moved from tackle to guard last year, and then really there at the center position, he was putting pancake blocks up left and right. Emmanuel Pregnon showcasing his power. This guy is physical at the point of attack, very powerful, 6'5", 320 pounds, just opening up holes. He was a freshman All-American at Wyoming, transfers to USC a season ago. And he'd pull, get kick-out blocks on the D end, opening up holes for Woody Marks. Tremendous block, though, on the game-winning 13-yard touchdown by Woody Marks. Fires off the ball, gets under the pad level of the nose tackle, Gio Taez, able to just muscle him to the inside, which really sealed him, stood him up. Pius tried to go low, but look, normally low man wins, but Pregnon was so strong, able to just muscle him and stand him up to control him. Marks runs right off that block, downhill, into the end zone for the score. Now, speaking of Joquavius Woody Marks, 16 carries, 68 yards, 2 touchdowns, also 3 catches for 7 yards, but with Woody Marks, what you have to just love is, this guy was a tremendous pass catcher for the late Mike Leach's offense, right? I mean, had 83 catches in one game, but you loved his physicality with his running ability. You loved his stop and start ability, the vision, able to get downhill, contact balance, and his ability to cut off the blocks. Very patient runner. Woody Marks, I thought, definitely helped himself. 5'10", 210 pounds. Keep an eye out for this guy. He's somebody who I think is going to continue to rise up draft boards, that's for sure. I thought USC's Eric Gentry, 7 tackles, two tackles for loss, pass breakup as well. He's 6'6", 215 pounds, has these 80-plus inch wingspan. And this was a guy that, just seen time and time again when USC needed a big play on defense, they knew that they could count on Eric Gentry to make those plays. There was a first and goal from the 7, collapsed down off the edge, just ran right around, drops the running back in the backfield for a loss of 2 yards. Good coverage and depth, good depth and coverage, I should say. Really reading Garrett Nussmeier, timed his jump well, used that length to tip the ball. So that tight end Mason Taylor wasn't able to hang on to the pass. Taylor was running open, but got that hand up, able to tip that pass, and Taylor wasn't able to haul it in. There was a 3rd-and-1 play with 7:45 to play. They were down 17-13, shot in, ran right through the tight end block to the inside, shot the gap, drilled the running back trying to get up the middle, get the tackle for loss, and ultimately USC was able to force LSU to punt on that play. But look, USC, I think they're for real. Number 23 Trojans taking the LSU down, number 13 ranked Tigers. And USC's defense is much more physical. They're disciplined, and they tackle. They tackle really well. And so that's something to really keep an eye on for sure. Akili Arnold is a safety that I think will get drafted. I thought his veteran play there at Oregon State transfers over to USC. But you can see with the Trojans that if you don't have your, if you're not don't have your head turned around to the ball. If your back is to the football, then really what you're doing is you're going to attack the body of the receiver, try to push him out. You know, if you're in the end zone on a fade. But the problem with it was with Akili was he actually had his head around. You know, you could see that he sees the football. He's tracking it well. And instead of attacking the football, like in midair, he goes to push Kyron Lacy out. Kyron Lacy, excellent body control, high points the football, brings it down for the touchdown. You know, that was a concern there with Akili Arnold. But I mentioned Kyron Lacy, 7 catches, 94 yards, and a touchdown. You know, after that touchdown, you know, he basically was, as a sharpshooter, was pointing at the USC defense. Gets flagged, kind of a stupid penalty there. But he definitely showcased his talent. You know, I think, you know, Kyron Lacy is one of those receivers, you know, you wanted to see what would happen at that receiver position when you lose Malik Nabers and you lose Brian Thomas Jr. Kyron Lacy stepping in at 6'2", 213. Look, you know, we knew about him last year, but this is a guy that could absolutely show that he can be that number one receiver, a guy that can high point footballs, very soft hands. He'll attack it in the air, excellent catch radius, does a really good job. You know, his comebacks, drives back down the stem, right back to the quarterback, extends for the football. You see that catch radius, just plucking the ball out of midair. Kyron Lacy is going to be a receiver that I think people are going to start talking about more and more as the season progresses. So those were some of my takeaways from week one. Excited to get to week two. You know, September is always a lot of fun because this is the first you get to see a lot of these teams. You want to see how guys progress. Have they continued to develop? Are they... are they progressing? Are any of these guys regressing? Are we seeing the same old trends? You know, really exciting to see some of the new guys stepping into the limelight. I mentioned Miller Moss and Garrett Nussmeier. Both of these guys, because of the inexperience, because it was only their second start, as well as they played, these are two quarterbacks who are coming back for their senior seasons and will be a part of that 2026 draft class. But again, a couple of quarterbacks that were absolutely stellar. I think when you talk about quarterbacks, right now, Shedeur Sanders is number one on my list. Carson Beck at number two. Then Quinn Ewers. I think, you know, Cam Ward is starting to sneak in there. Is he a first-round draft pick? Probably not. Jackson Dart is number five on my list right now. And really the thing with Jackson Dart, Lane Kiffin, you have to kind of study Jackson Dart. Can his game translate to the next level because of the offense that Kiffin runs? A lot of those, you know, single read. Can he really do a better job surveying the field? That's something that you really have to study the film to really get a good idea of. I just haven't been able to do that much yet with Jackson Dart, but I'm looking forward to, you know, especially as the season progresses, seeing just what Jackson Dart can put together, because I think Mississippi is going to make some noise in the SEC for sure when it's all said and done. So let's go ahead and put a wrap on week one for now, and we'll come back here and do this all over again once week two is in the books as well. So for readyforthedraft.com, this has been the Ready for the Draft podcast. I've been your host, Greg Schutz. Take care, everyone. Until next time, I am out of here.